Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still loving you. I'm walking down
to a team of voices, A Soft Place to Fall, and we are going to be talking about sacrifice tonight. And before we begin, I would like to acknowledge and thank Deborah Lee, who is our producer and creator of these programs that you get to listen to each night, and the brains behind the whole group and the poetry site that we have, which is called, which is, goes under Team of Voices. And a Team of Voices is in under the umbrella of allpoetry.com, the largest poetry group in the world. And so without further ado, we're going to be talking about sacrifice and what does that mean to you. There are different types of sacrifices that we make. There's mothers and fathers make sacrifices daily for their kids. Sometimes we make sacrifices that will enhance our jobs, friendships, all kinds of things. And so we're going to be talking about that. So there'll be an array of different types of poems with regard to sacrifice. So we have on the line right now, we have Deborah Lee. And hello, Deb. Let's be answer the phone first, I guess. Hi, Deb. Or that's Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hi, I'm unmuted. I'm going to see your brother.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to
and Wayne, oh, I thought Deb was on the phone. I thought you were Deb. Okay, so we've got Hatter on the phone, who is the author of the song that you just heard. And it was put to music by Shout, Even Shy, and it's a wonderful song. I hope you all enjoyed it. Hey, Hatter.
Hi. I'm muted,
okay. And then we have Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing there, Lady A? Hatter?
What's up, good, guys? Thanks. And you?
Oh, just hanging out.
Yeah, me too.
Enjoying life.
Hanging out together. So maybe what we can do, I don't know if it's going to be a real long show tonight because there's not a whole lot of poems listed, but what we'll do is make it the best short show that we have. And so, Wayne, what does sacrifice mean to you?
Sacrifice is when you give something up to obtain a goal. You know, you have to sacrifice something to get to where you want to go. So you got to, you know, it's giving up something to get to where the place you want to be.
And Hatter, what about you?
Yeah, there's two kinds. There's the sacrifice that you give to put yourself in a better position. You sacrifice time, food, whatever it is. But there's the sacrifice of what you do for others.
Expecting nothing returned.
Yeah. And you invest and sacrifice your time for a friend, you know.
Yeah.
And they're sacrificing bodies, too. Young kids, you like to sacrifice them on a stake. No.
That's true. That's right. I've had to sacrifice my body many times.
Well, I think that soldiers go off to war, and that's what they do. They sacrifice their lives to protect those that are left behind. And so that's a huge sacrifice that is made, and actually Remembrance Day is coming up soon on the 11th.
I can honestly say my parents went without the whole time raising six kids.
I bet.
Man.
And looking back, you know, they went without to make sure we had what we needed. So, sacrifice.
Yeah. And I think most parents do go without, and, you know, today, I think about when my kids were small, you know, we didn't have anything brand new. Our furniture was all secondhand, and, you know, the car was secondhand, and everything was what we could afford at the time.
As far as getting new clothes, I was, if you looked on the inside pocket, I was number two.
Yeah. Well,
so
sometimes we weren't even number zero.
After one was done with it, I got, and she added another one for two. And then when I was done with it, went to three.
It's true. We didn't have, I remember the things that I got new, like usually for your birthday or Christmas, you got something new, one outfit that was new. And, but the rest was all secondhand stuff. And I think today, a lot of young people want to start out with the best of everything. And so they don't know the true meaning of sacrifice or making do or making something beautiful out of a secondhand piece of furniture or draperies or whatever. And I think I was in my 50s, my early 50s before I got a new car, and like a new car. And so, you know, everything else prior to that was a secondhand car. It got me from point A to point B, and that was the most important part, so.
That's it.
Yeah, I remember when my dad got his first pickup, his first brand new car. He was well into retirement, but, that was his first part of that.
I bet, eh? Yeah.
Talking about kids being spoiled. The two girls across the street I got to take care of because their mom and dad separated. They don't make any money and they're poor. But their birthdays came up and they wanted iPhones. I tried to get them to buy an Android. They wouldn't buy an Android for nothing. I couldn't take a brand new Android. I had to buy them two iPhones because they just couldn't handle an Android. They killed me.
You had to buy them two iPhones?
Well, I mean, I did. I didn't have to argue. I could have said, no, I ain't buying nothing, but I did buy them. But it's
wow.
They're so spoiled. It's amazing. amazing these houses. But they are.
And just want to just kind of put a red herring in it. Like, why would you do that if you knew that they were spoiled and ungrateful? Like, why would you indulge in that? Like, it's just a.
I'm probably the ones that spoiled them. I'm probably the ones that spoiled them. I've been spoiled for like the past 5 years, so.
Wow. Do they appreciate you, though?
Oh, no. No, not a bit. No, they do. They do. I can say that. They do, but they're still sport. Yeah, they like me. They love me.
Wow.
They're sport. Right. It was hurt by them. But I got two iPhones for a good price. I got them on sale. And it was less than $400 a piece. So it wasn't too bad. I thought this was $1,000 a piece. So I got one of those iPhones.
Less than $400 a piece, did you say?
Yeah, I got the little new ones, the little iPhones XR, they call XRs. They don't have everything on them, I reckon. But that's what they cost nowadays. See, we don't sell for like $400.
Oh, my goodness. Like, do you pay for their monthly fees, too?
Not yet. They came with 40 minutes. And so, it came with $40 worth of minutes. And so, I don't know what's going to happen when they run out. That's another whole ball game I don't want to talk about right now. Probably will, but I don't want to.
Wow.
You know, on iPhones, they can text. They text each other on iPhones without service. If everybody's got iPhones, you can text back and forth. You don't have to have phone service. So most of the kids got iPhones. So if they run out of service, they can do without. As far as I'm concerned. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'll break down probably.
Yeah, well, I hope one day they look back and appreciate what you did for them. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, Because, you know, that's a sacrifice on your part, paying that kind of money, you know, for something for them, and one day hopefully it'll come back to bless you, let's say.
Well, young girls gotta have phones. Their phones is broken, so they had their phones. You know, young girls have to have phones, but they're not human. You know, every girl gotta have a phone to talk to everybody. So that, I feel like this is a necessity.
You think? Well, I got rid of my cell phone not long ago. And,
they're 113, 115. They got to talk to everybody. That's the way they are. That's the way kids are.
Wow.
Can you imagine being 15 years old without a phone?
Yeah.
You're very generous. And I got rid of my phone because I was paying a monthly fee, and I didn't find that I was really using the phone enough to qualify me having it. So I got rid of it. And and then, of course, you run into situations which are not that often, but you think, oh, shoot, I wish I had a cell phone. I'd call for whatever it is. And because that's really the only time I ever really used it other than Blog Talk, because I had free minutes in the North America. And then I was able to get a... Well, my landline, I was just going to say, I was able to, when I switched over to my landline, when I moved out here, I discussed that with them, and they gave me the same... program on my landline, so I have free minutes in North America 24/7.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's much less money, and so it works out great. So, are either one of you in a hurry?
I got about an hour, a little over an hour.
Do you want to read your poem now, or?
Oh, I can. Yeah, I can read my poem now. It's a sacrifice.
Okay, I'll put
poem.
It up on the board.
Okay. I wanted to go on this trip, so I had to sacrifice something to enjoy myself. So it's what we'll go through and see what it says. It's called River Trip Tragedy. And it goes like this.
Oh, just hang on. Is it in the room? Hang on a second. I want to see if it's in the room yet.
Yeah, I put it on top of the board.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in the room for anybody else that wants to see it, though, if I can get back up there.
Oh, really?
I don't see it.
There, I'm going to put it. There it is right now. Okay, you got it now?
Got it.
Hatter?
Yep,
okay.
Got it.
Okay. It's called River Trip Tragedy. It goes like this. I was 20 years old when I decided to take a trip. Me and my lady to float down the old Mississippi. Flat bottom boat with cabin. Had never seen better days. Nothing more mysterious than rivers, early morning haze. Put boat in on St. Louis' east side shore. Had enough supplies to live a month or more. Felt free on the deck with the trunks I wore. Every couple of days we docked and go explore. Blue skies turned dark on that warm April day. Waves picked up, our boat began to sway. Nowhere to dock, we were on our own. Fear swallowed us up as the boat was blown. Ran aground on a deserted river isle. Hole in hull, be stranded on river for a while. Supplies were gone. We knew they were lost. Glad to be alive after being tossed. My girl, Lady A, was crying, lying on deck. As I walked up, I didn't know what to expect. Lots of pain with broken ribs, foot and arm. Said I'd do my best to keep her from harm. Storm passed, humidity on the rise. Miserable mosquitoes and horse flies. Waved and watched as the barges were floated by. Wasn't able to repair a boat, but I gave it a try. Nights were cold, damp, and long. Infection set in. Saddest day of my life when Lady A's life came to an end. Thought about swimming, the current was too swift. It was a week later when a speedboat gave me a lift. In.
And the weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed.
Oh, you guys are thinking of a trip, our Lady A.
I loved it. I imagine. I'm envisioning this river because rivers, well, I suppose the Mississippi River is quite wide, but the rivers that you can see to the other side, so I was just.
Yeah, this is a mile wide. It's real wide.
Wow.
Over a mile wide.
This was really good. It was a nice little story that you told, and I really enjoyed when I was bored with you, so that was really fun. You did a good job on that one. What did you think, Adder?
But Mississippi. That was funny. The old Mississippi.
Yeah. Oh, Mississippi.
Like Missouri. What's the other one that they, you say, everybody says it wrong.
I don't know.
New Orleans?
Baton Rouge.
Mississippi.
I'll give me a minute. I'll think of it. Let me get down with this. I'm sharing, I found a bottle of wine.
You're sharing a bottle of wine?
I am. I'm having a bottle of wine.
Oh, excellent. What kind of wine is it? Red or white?
Cabernet. It's a good Cabernet. Fruity.
I'm sipping my Bud Light.
I'm not sipping anything.
Yeah.
I've got a bad headache.
I live in pretty wine country, basically. Not far from it. Good
but
one.
Do you like
very
red or, I don't know, Cabernet, that's red, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cabernet Sauvignon, yes,
yeah.
Sauvignon.
I like a couple of white wines.
I like white wine. I like Riesling wine.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like Italian-type wines, sweet wines. And you're drinking
nice and sweet.
You're drinking wine because it's red meat.
It goes with red.
Cabernet Sauvignon goes with red meat and room temperature.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
I have a friend of mine. She's a sommelier, and she can pair wines with all kinds of meals and things like that. She does all kinds. I don't know if you'd call them wine tastings. I guess it is that she does, and she's really good at that. And but I'm not much of a drinker anyway. I like a couple of glasses of wine in an evening, maybe three at the most. But I'm not a big drinker at all. And that's okay. Other things make you happy. You know what I'm saying?
I bet you get all flushed and giggly.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to dance. That's the big thing for me. I want to dance when I get going. I really love that. And so I'm going to, let me see, I'm going to read one of mine.
All right.
And
it is
about, let me see if I can find it now. Uh-oh,
I got mine. I don't know how good it is. I really, really.
You
want
to read yours?
It might be a banana.
Okay, put it in the room, Hatter, okay? Because I don't have it.
Okay. Oh, maybe I didn't. Okay, hold on. It was, it tried to get away from me a couple times. It might have. So, that's not it. It's going to be in my drafts. Okay. I haven't posted it yet. See it. Better be in our drafts.
Mm.
Uh-oh. Sacrifice. Yeah, this is it. I took the meals for most down the trees.
You find it?
Yeah. I'm making sure it's up to par. Okay. I think it, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm going to have to, there's another part of it. Give me, I'm going to take a couple of minutes here. Hold on.
Okay, well, I'll put mine up, and then you can go next when you have, when you find the rest of yours. And I had this, I had it already, and now it's going to. I love it when that happens. Mine is about when the Europeans came over, the sacrifice that they made to come to a new land, and it is, I'm still trying to find it. Okay, excuse us, listeners, because we seem to be a little bit disheveled tonight, and that just makes us human, so I like that. And there are a lot of sacrifices that people made when they came from Europe to try to make a new life for themselves and their families. And they did sacrifice to the point where, you know, they endangered their lives as well, because the new land was cruel and hard to manage, and they didn't really know anything about it. And they had help from the First Nations people that were here for the, you know, for the most part, the pilgrims and different ones that settled. And they survived, you know, by learning how to grow corn and other things that helped them get, you know, fishing and that sort of, like, learning how to salvage the their catches and that sort of thing. And I'm trying desperately to, I thought I had it all. I did have it all, actually, but find it. So this poem that I'm going to read to you is one of that. So when you think about the settling of the areas and deep into the interior, even, it was harder because you didn't, well, you had lakes and that sort of thing, but on the coastline, it ended up that some of these people were taught how to, taught the fur trade, and the beaver, yes, the beaver in Canada was the staple in the beginning of people being able to survive, and they traveled, they were called the Courier du Bois in Canada, and they traveled all around the East Coast down into the Mississippi, I do believe, and for the fur trade. And so it was a really hard life, and one that people made many, many sacrifices. So here I've got it. It's called Unforgiving Cold, and I'm going to put it in the room. And here it is. Here you go. Okay, unforgiving cold, ominous onyx clouds, rain pours on the ground, oceans churn, frothy white caps turn, seasick sailors stumbled, hang on to taffrails as sea pummels, bilge resistance weakens and she rolls violently with waves sequence. Waiting on the shore, pioneers sent before, attempts to tame the land, unforgiving cold, hinterland. Ships set sail from England, supplies on board to save them. Sea swells slam the vessel, all on board in peril. Settlers watch in horror, plead God will restore her, doomed to die on foreign soil if ship runs aground in turmoil. Fervent are prayers sent, begging sea swells to relent. Starvation takes the lives of children, the plight of early pilgrims. We owe the ancestors, we owe our existence to the elders. Courage, bravery, they dare take risks. We have their history. Thankful for the angry skies, raging seas, which led to me. Grateful for the sacrifice, our forefathers' dreams of paradise. and poem.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
What did you think of that, Wayne?
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good poem. It's you got a lot of good description there. How bad the ocean was and everything, because I can't imagine getting on one of those ships and setting out in the deep blue sea, and I just hope you get to the other side of the ocean. You know, it had to be rough back then. But like pilgrims and stuff, what they left England and they left Europe. A lot of the Europe early travelers left because there was many ice age over there. There's 25 million people died during that time period of frozen death. So they was all leaving that country to come to a country they thought would be better, which it was in a lot of cases. But they had a mini ice age back about 400 years ago, and nobody don't talk about it. About 25 million people dying. They was all escaping to a better place to hope they could live. And they had a lot of starving death over in Europe. And when they got here, it wasn't much better because it was cold over here too, and they wanted them dying here over here. But it was a rough time back in those days. I can't imagine getting on a boat in that cold water and set across the ocean. It'd just be terrible. But you did a good job at this poem. I enjoyed it. Very, very good job.
Thank you very much. And Hatter, what did you think?
I think he might have read it a little fast.
Sorry.
Well, no. It's my own thing. My own gig, man. It's just, when you use a lot of colors and descriptive, you know, clouds and skies and stuff, sometimes slow down a little bit so we can embrace the color, you know, see that.
Yeah.
When you run over it, it's like that's all we, you know, we didn't have a chance. It's how everybody's style different. I mean, if you're a rapper, you got to do it fast, right?
Yeah.
Style. So nothing's right or wrong. It's just that I like to be able to taste it, you know.
Yeah.
Taste it in the jig. You're grooving a jig. Grooving a jig, baby.
I thought it was about perfect. That's the way I talk so fast. I thought it was about perfect.
I'll tell you what, remember it in your mind to always get the senses in there: touch, sight, feel, smell, without being too obvious, you know, doing it. People can relate to those senses.
Well, thank you, Hatter. I might read it again if there's some time at the end of the show, just to start it a different way.
That'll be $29.99 now, Billy account.
Okay, I'll get that to you in the mail right away. Send you my money order. So now we're going to have Laughing Soul. I've got a tape of hers, and I'm going to put hers in the room first, and then I'll play her SoundCloud. Let me see. I'm not sure which is the SoundCloud. Okay, we'll try this. She has a beautiful voice to listen to as well, so I'm going to put this in the room, and hopefully it's not the SoundCloud, and then I'll press the SoundCloud. Let's see. Yeah, that should be okay.
Okay, got it.
You got it? Okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to play that now for Laughing Soul. And it is called, what is it called? It is called How Do You Define a Mother? And here we go.
Mother, a poem by Laughing Soul. How do you define a mother? By the number of kicks you've given her in her womb, and every time she smiled. Or by the number of bites on her swollen nipples, yet she happily fed you and never cried. How do you define a mother? By the stretch marks that she proudly flaunts, or by all those sacrifices of her desires at once? Every time I try to pen on my mum, I fall short of words, whose love so pure, deeper than any ocean, my ink just doesn't seem to thank her enough. A mother truly is the answer to all our prayers, and all she desires in return is a little love and tender care.
Has a beautiful voice. It's so soothing, and you can feel the love through this, and I love that she chose to go from the beginning of time in the womb, and then she doesn't have enough words to speak of how much she loves her mother, who's I fall short of words, whose love so pure, deeper than any ocean. My ink just doesn't seem to thank her enough. How gorgeous is that? And a mother truly is the answer to all our prayers. And all she desires in return is a little love and tender care. And that, to me, really jumped out at me, because that's all you want. There's nothing else that matters. It's just to have a little bit of that returned. So I really appreciated this poem. It was very beautiful. What did you think, Wayne?
I said, wow, what a voice. What a lovely voice. She's got a great voice. And oh, I can only find my mother as something that's been pure love. She's beyond words, like she said. And my mom gave me the world. So I wasn't around, and she all of a sudden, here I was, and I gave the whole world. Great poem. I loved it, and good job. And she did a good tribute to her mom. Good job.
Yeah. It's true, eh, that moms will give their kids the world, for sure. And and hopefully most, like, Laughing Soul appreciates what her parents did, what her mother did in particular, to love them enough to make them feel like they are safe and sound, and to be able to fall back on that love throughout their lives. I think it's great. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it's on... A mother's love is like no, and devotion is like no other. Defined it well with the kicks, and she counted the kicks and smiled each time. Swollen bites, were swollen. That's gotta hurt. But the stretch mark.
Yeah.
I did a contest once. It was called. It was about love of a child. So. I did stretch marks just because I let them out of the box, and the lines of love, you know, and
I'd love to hear that. Can you dig that up,
Hatter?
You think?
Yeah.
What's that? Could you dig that poem up? I'd love to hear it.
No, sure. Let me go see if I can find it.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to put, did you find the other part of your other poem too, by any chance?
Yeah, I do, and I need a last line, so I've decided that we'll have everybody, just help me with the last line, is that okay?
Sure.
I can't fit. Okay, let me see if this one will come up.
Okay.
Trying to figure out what word I had in there. So how many sacrifice poems did you get?
I got, let me see, just wrinkle back here. I got
marks of love.
Three,
yeah.
Neil and Wayne's, and I put mine in there. And yours, so that makes
okay.
And
this
six.
One. And this one.
Okay. You're throwing it in the room for us, I hope.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Marks of love.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it goes like this. Did you hear them laugh and make her feel sad? Boys had no clue what she had or why she had the marks of love she kept on her side, never hid them or ever tried. This morning, your mother, they made feel blue for the love marks she keeps for loving you.
Yeah.
And it was about stretch marks, about being teased.
Yeah, and I remember that too. Like I think that's when I stopped wearing a two-piece bathing suit was when after my first one was born, and it just I felt I couldn't wear it anyways because there was too many stretch marks. But it's kind of traumatic when you think about what the body goes through when with pregnancy, you know, and stretch marks are a badge of honor, I think too. Like you know you. And I like that the love marks, you called them love marks, she keeps for loving you. And that's so true. I thought that was really beautiful, very tender and beautiful. And so what did you think, Wayne?
I only heard part of it. It sounded sweet, but I was my cat was in here meowing, trying to get me to do something for it, and decided to push her out of the room. So I didn't get to hear all of it. I'm sorry.
Okay. So thanks for digging that up. Heather, did you want to read your next one as well?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Perfect.
Sort of starting to struggle. I think the wine's kicking in.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did this once before. So, okay. Sacrifice. The role of savior among a stand of trees, I felt whispers of the wind begin to fondle me. Asking for a place called free, I stopped to take a rest. I watched a madman take his place. And then the last line.
I watched a madman take his place.
Got to rhyme with rest. Called
yeah.
free, I stopped to take a rest. I watched a madman take his place. I can't think of any.
Okay, you got to give me a couple minutes. I'm gonna give you a line for that, but I got to think a little bit on my feet here. Hang on. So Wayne, you think of a line, I'll go here, and then I'll think of one, and then we'll see what Hatter likes the best. How about that? Oh, Wayne dropped. Okay. So, all right, I'm going to go back to that poem. And so, in the meantime, Hatter, what did you do today?
Okay, I got lines. Yeah, I did my little exercises I was supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and went over some legal stuff, and not a whole lot.
Yeah, how are you feeling? Good.
I'm sorry?
How are you feeling?
Oh, I get tired really quick. It's the, you know, once the dominoes are falling, lady, once they start, I just stop them. But, okay, here's the last line. How's this?
Okay.
Asking for a place called free, I stopped to take a rest. I watched a madman take his place, shouting he's the best.
Yeah. I was going to put, let me see, what was I going to put there?
Yeah, there's got to be a better line. You could change anything after madman. I mean, the past 2 minutes.
Okay. I was thinking. Asking for a place called free, I stopped to take a rest. I watched a madman take his place. That's not going to flow.
Yes,
I'd like to say that the other guy didn't belong there. Like, you know.
So he's a guest.
Yeah. I watched a madman take his place. Good sir, you are no guest. But you'd have to write another verse, I think.
Well, if you got rid of take his place, you'd have to watch the madman kid do something else. So a lot of times what I'll do is get your last line first, and then that fill
yeah.
in this, that one before.
Hold on it, yeah.
So if you're going to stick it's the rest thing, I think we're tied to.
Yeah.
Take a rest.
You are no guest. I thought that was
the best. He's just a guest.
Yeah.
As a guest.
I want to say that this madman invaded his space somehow, but I'm just a madman.
Because he has the place called Free. Felt the wind funneling him. So I watched the madman. Good, we could watch, you know, I'd watch the madman paint the sky.
Yeah, paint the sky. Watch them and paint the sky.
So I'll change it to that. Okay.
Paint the sky. What about Crow's Nest? As a rhyming thing, Crow's Nest. Watch the man and paint the sky from... it has to flow well, though. It's not...
I used to have this little paint, this picture that I made. It's I think I used to get a hand with the Bic lighter.
Yeah.
And I lost my train of thought because I'm trying to finish this. She shouted. What I had was when they called me insane. When they called me insane, I just smiled and kept painting the sky. That's what it was.
Watch the man
paint the sky.
From there, I was obsessed, or something that would draw this guy into the sky being painted. You got to try the two of them in together somehow.
I think I got a chance to stop to take a rest. I stopped to asking for a place called for your stop.
Yeah, use it for him painting the sky.
Okay, a breath. I could change that to breath and use rest. That's a near rhyme.
Yeah.
Near rhyme. I stopped to take a breath. I lost a man and paint the sky.
I gasped to take a breath. I gasped and took a breath.
Okay, that's what I got. So I have to take a breath. I watched a man and paint the sky. Breath. Okay. Could use the rest if we had to. Oh, I know.
Cooking all the meth.
Madman. Okay, how's this?
Okay, second.
Thinking he's the best.
No, you got to have something a little more profound because the rest of it is profound, I find. So you got to have something that's a little more profound. Just a second.
What's that? Yeah.
Ask for a place called Stop to Take a Rest.
Okay, I'll show you what it looks like now.
Watch a moment.
Yeah. Okay, now pull it up. It should change.
Painted. I stopped.
I mean,
who takes
the role of savior amongst a stand of trees?
Okay, just a sec. Hang on. Let me see what's going to happen to the role of savior among the stand of trees. I felt the whispers of the wind begin to fall. Asking for a place called Free, I stopped to take a breath. I watched a madman paint the sky, thinking he's the best. Oh.
The cadence is there, but I have to add. I can't end it there.
It needs a better last line. I was thinking, asking for a place called Free, I stopped to take a breath. gasping as I paint the sky. I think you should make him be the one painting the sky. Gasping as I paint the sky. I paint the sky.
You don't like I watched a bad man?
No, you can make him become the madman somehow to fit that in.
How do we know it's a madman? Yeah.
I became a madman.
Because it said it on his shirt. Because it said it on his shirt. No, you know he's a madman.
If
it said
you
it on his shirt.
Make him the madman painting the sky, and then he becomes obsessed. I don't know. I thought that was pretty good rhyme, the obsessed part of it.
You think the painting of the sky should be the end of the poem, but I should put something before it?
No, I think I became a madman. I became a madman should maybe be the line.
Why make it the personal pronoun?
Maybe the last line tucked in with something else, like, I watched a madman.
Like, I had become a madman?
I had become a madman.
Take a breath. I had become a madman. He can curse and all the rest. Leave it all the rest.
We got to put paint the sky, too, somehow. Madman. I became a madman.
Okay, I become a madman. Okay, take a breath.
Was that?
I became a madman. Become a madman. I sort of got to end it there.
Yeah.
You got to invite somebody. Come on over to come out to the woods. To the madman.
Please go for yourself.
I like that visual. I watched a madman paint the sky. I've used it a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched a blind man painting in a blustery, blustery day. I asked him if he had with me a can of 10 shades of gray.
Okay, so let's leave it like that then. I watched a madman paint the sky. Was then I was obsessed, or something like that draws him into the painting of the sky. Was then I was obsessed.
I've got confess. What's the other paint the sky? Yeah, you know, this is a perfect example of liking the words of your lines, but it's not going to work there.
Yeah.
So you got to freaking sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my words because I couldn't rhyme. Done. Homework is done.
Did you redo it? Let me see.
Well, I figured my sacrifice had been put in. Now I'm thinking what to put in. I might add a verse. Watch the man and paint the sky. Okay, that sounds like I could use the rhyming sound ooh, like boo, you, too, cool. So watch the madman paint the sky. So
Vince was obsessed.
I'll fiddle it.
How about that?
I'll fiddle it.
Vince was obsessed. How about using that for the last line? Convinced he was obsessed.
Say that again. Obsessed.
Watch a madman paint the sky, convinced he was obsessed.
And then what? It sounds like thinking he's obsessed. Saying he's obsessed. Acting that he's obsessed.
Yeah. Hello, 856. Welcome to A Soft Place to Fall.
I think that's a boss.
It is. Hello.
Hello.
I think we're supposed to be reading poetry or something.
I think we're writing a poem right now, which is
Saw Madman, paint the sky.
What?
The last stand.
Convinced he was obsessed.
Knowing he's obsessed, paint the sky.
Watch the madman paint the sky, convinced he was obsessed. And then you could go on to talk about the color of it, maybe, that he was painting in the next couplet.
Convinced he was the best. Oh, no, he was obsessed. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Obsessed. Okay, show you what that looks like. Not bad.
And I don't think you even really need to add anything else unless you wanted to close it in on the place called Free. If you wanted to make something to end with that, I think I found my place, the place that's in the sky.
Maybe Deb, or if Wayne's on here, to tell us where I went wrong. Tear it apart, man.
No, I don't think it needs to be torn apart. I just think maybe just a tweak of a last two lines. Asking for a place called for you to stop to take a breath. You need to take that R out of there. What did you put there?
Convinced he was obsessed.
No, what did you put after when you put the madman? How did you word that?
Okay, you should be able to pull it up again. It should show up. I watched the madman paint this guy convinced he was obsessed.
Yes. And then you can fall back on the place called Free somehow, get back to that, because you're searching for this place called Free. And you could say, you know, something about...
I see a mirror.
Okay.
Maybe a mirror. Reflection, mirror. She was the best. Go ahead and get the what you got to do, and I'll lead into this next one. Come back to me.
Okay. So, Deb, did you bring something that you'd like to read?
Sure did.
Okay, if you could add that to the wall, that would be great.
I'll grab it now. Okay, see if I, there it is. I couldn't find voices.
Okay, go ahead when you're ready.
Okay, cool. So I went with a different angle because that building in the photo is all made of skulls. Anyway, it's called Red Spills from Kills, labeled a sacrifice. Here we go. People climb to stand on the bone top as the sun halos mark the sky with light. Two rounded skull towers flank the stairs on the trail to death, climbing every flight. On the peaks of the pyramid, men kill men, calling all the slayings a sacrifice, spilling crimson from hearts and jugulars with the bloody blade swinging slice. Then blood stains the temple altars and the rituals, and for cannibalism, too. Heads are drilled with holes for building, but the bodies are cooked into a pot of stew. For rain and for food, they slaughter thousands in their slaughterhouse. Is this the slaughterhouse from yesterday? Archaeologists read markings on the bones, reporting gouges carved by tools on display. Records say conquistadors witnessed the grisly ceremonies. Aztec priests using razor-sharp obsidian blades sliced open the chests of sacrificed victims and offered their still-beating hearts to the gods, then tossed the victims' lifeless bodies down the stairs of the towering temple, and the parts are cooked and served to noblemen.
Yikes. Wow. This is obviously a true story. I never heard of this before.
There's a bunch of information at the bottom that's mind-blowing. And, I mean, people volunteered for this. It was an honor to be a sacrifice in some circumstances. So I tried not to be to put too much of my own horror at the thought in there. But wow, and the thing that struck me is that they found like 800 and some thousand. I have to take this call on the other phone. I'm so sorry. I'll call back.
Thanks.
Okay.
It's amazing, you know, what's uncovered in, let me just read this here. In 2015 and 2018, archaeologists working at the Temple Mayor excavation site in Mexico City, discovered proof of widespread human sacrifice among the Aztecs, none other than the very skull towers and skull racks that conquistadors had described in their accounts. And let me see. While it was a long theorized that Aztecs only engaged in ritual cannibalism during times of famine, other explanation is that the consuming the flesh of a person offered to the gods was like consuming communing with the gods themselves. Wowzer. I never knew that. I never saw that that image before of this picture of this. It looks like a temple. Almost looks like a pyramid of sorts with a square top, but it's all entirely made from human skulls, which is absolutely unbelievable. What did you think of this, Hatter?
They've got satellite imagery cameras and such that they can pick things out of the jungle that have been overgrown and taken back. They're being amazed at how many civilizations and monuments are in the jungle of South America and Mexico. So very exciting.
Exciting to find, but it's just amazing to know that actually took place. And did a great job on that, Deb. Very informative and shocking. So now I'm gonna go find my place.
Okay. I've got mine for tonight. That was
okay.
Okay.
Did you want to put it up there?
Saving it right now. I'm saving it right now, and I'll be there running down the hall as we speak. Hi, Deborah.
Okay. I think Naomi sent a. SoundCloud as well.
My phone is.
You're dying? Okay.
No, not dying. Okay, there it goes. Okay, should be there now.
Yeah.
Oh, says this. Oh, abstinence. There it goes.
No, I don't have it.
It tried to load. It didn't. It said it saved, but it didn't post. I think my phone is full. I've been putting documents in my phone recently. Got to get them out. Yeah.
Can I go look for it in your thing, or?
Yeah, see if I can. My last poem. On my,
it's called. What's it called again?
Should be sacrifice.
No, you read that
sacrifice
already.
Two. Sacrifice two.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let me. Okay, it's sitting here trying to load. Let me. I'll do it this way.
No results.
Okay. It's in. There you go. Saved right now. It's okay. Saved it. Okay. See if refresh and see what my last poem posted was.
Okay.
Maybe I gotta move out of this spot.
No.
Okay. Well, it's not so. Some reason, so I'm going to put in draft back up and see if I can free some don't know why it's doing that.
Let's see, I'm just going to put sacrifice in and see if it comes up with something.
Are you sure you want to leave without submitting your changes? No. You should know. Now it's, I think.
Sacrifice.
No, you want to stay the table, baby? Come on.
No, there's nothing here for sacrifice, too.
Yeah, it's still spinning here.
Okay.
This is how you lose them.
Blinking
off.
Hate that.
So,
okay, so I'm going to, while you're struggling with that, I'm going to try to put up another one.
Okay.
And
just act like I'm not here.
I'm going to put Naomi.
I love Naomi.
Not sure if these are, I don't think they're.
I love them.
I don't know if I'm calling in or no. What's going on, but I'm going to try this.
Oh, it went. It went.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, to be there. Boy, that was like sacrifice two.
No, I don't have it at all. Dang.
Okay, I'll post it.
You put it in the room, yeah.
Okay.
Or you did already probably. Sorry, listeners, we're having some technical difficulties at this time.
Okay, I'm running. Hear me running? Running down the hall.
I hear you.
Fine. Just take those old records off the shelf. What are those? Okay, come on. Boom. How about that?
There, it's there. Perfect.
Oh, it's...
Okay, I'm clicking on it. Deb drop. It's just me and you, kid.
Can you reread
adult? Yes, I will read it. Sacrifice 2.
Okay.
Always gave you away, your lips smooth, but had nothing to say. When the rain came, I sheltered you. You grew to a tree. You've taken what I had for you. Now you're trying to kill me. Beware the sacrifice that goes unknown. Simple tasks that turn to stone. Did you ever walk away while running down a dream, trying to get to yesterday, where I know I've never been? End poem. Oh, I love that line. Really great. This is really good. Very good. Because you're a brainiac, that's why. Excellent. Very, very good.
Did you ever walk away
while running down a dream, trying to get to yesterday, where I know I've never been? What a brilliant line that is. I love it. It really is, Hatter. Very good. Now, I have, if you just look above you, I have Naomi Sarah, and I didn't get any message as to whether she was going to read or call in or not, so I think I'm going to read for her. And this is called The Sacrificing of a Generation. Have you got it? Did I put it? Yeah, it's in the room. Did you get it?
Yeah. Yes, it's loading now. Got it. Hi, Naomi.
Okay. Is she on the board?
Yep.
Oh, I wonder if she minds me reading it. Let me see.
She should be okay with it.
Naomi, are you going to call in, or are you okay with me reading it? Just make a note, because I'm just about to read it. But I'll wait for you if you're going to call. Just let me know in the room here. That would be great.
Is she out there?
I thought you were talking to her. We're like two ships passing.
Well,
I do because I
assume they're going to listen to the show later. So it's like, hey, what's
okay.
up? What's up?
All right. So I'm going to go. Where is she? Okay. This is called The Sacrificing of a Generation.
It's got It's got the word virgin in it. Sure, you want to read it? Let me read it.
Innocence
okay.
fried upon commercial griddles, buttered in clumps of coin by dig tech puppeteers. Virgin eyes slashed open and bloodied by thirsty fangs of infesting spider apps, pumping venom throughout fresh veins and sucking gray matter from immature brains. As a praying mantis rips off young heads, feasting on their creativity and imagination, and spits out chewed up morsels of slimed, naive minds left limp and dazed, rotting inside a worldwide web of woven lies, Photoshop, and propaganda. Teardrops crystallize upon sunken smiles from cyberbullying and the fear of imperfection. And poem. Wow, this is really impressive. I think that that young people are really, I mean, I think we have technology babysitting babies now. You know, people put their computers in front of their babies to keep them occupied. And they, I think there's something very detrimental about that. And I hate saying that because I'm sure when people on television came out, the old folks were like, oh, that's something but, you know, sin and whatever else. Like, you know, those kinds of new technologies came in and the generation before are fearful of them, that something horrible is going to happen. But it has really, in essence, as each generation has come to be, there's been more and more technology that's taken over their brains. And, yeah, I thought this was brilliant. Really, really good. What did you think, Hatter?
It gives out the warning of the World Wide Web. You can, as a teacher, I'm sure she can sit there and watch it consume to some students, and you can't help them. You can try.
No.
People are living other people's lives on the web. They're not living their own, and that's not only a sin; it is the worst thing that could happen. People will start assuming artificial characters because they'll never come out. They'll find happiness there instead of struggling to find happiness in the real world, because it's hard to find happiness, hard to be happy. You got to struggle at it and appreciate it when you have it. These kids are going to be locked unless the parents are strict with the usage and the kids understand the addiction. Silicon Valley, they have parts of the company where it's all about addiction. It's the same thing they use in casinos. They use on these phones to addict young children. That's a fact. They use the same thing. I mean, the little things that tickle a feather in your ear in a casino makes you gamble or makes you a different person or consumes you. It's the same thing they do to our kids.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys that quit their job, their seven-digit job, because of that. They don't want anything to do with that. They're brainwashing our kids. It's easily, easily done.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think we experience it as well, you know, being addicted maybe to these programs, maybe. I'm not saying that they are bad or anything like that, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, we get being a part of it, and then when you're not a part of it, it's, oh my God, you know, where's my life, you know?
Yeah.
I think
And
the other part of the video games and stuff is that they're taught to become desensitized to violence and evil, like killing all the time, you know? And, you know, I play a game that has that element of violence in it. And, you know, when I first started playing it, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's so horrible. You know, and now it's like, yeah, I got him, you know? And so you do, I mean, I you do become desensitized to it and thinking that it's okay, you know? I don't know if we'll ever get back to a place where imaginations and kindness and love will ever take place again. I have no idea. but it's kind of
true. And what role do we have? Because we were one of the probably the last generation that knew the greatest generation, which there was no computers. There was all imagination. You have to have it to exist. And then we have the internet. So we are one of the last ones. The generations behind us don't know what it was like without the computer.
No.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Can you imagine that? That the internet was always there. It always will be. And everybody relies on it so much. It's I wrote a short story about when the internet goes down, what will happen. You got people screaming in the street to repent, for the end is near. People in Starbucks in the fetal position in the corner, sweating. What's going to happen to them in repent? That is just because they can't get a signal, you know.
Yeah. Or there's things that they show. Like I remember one time they had on YouTube, I think it was a father or a grandfather. I think it was a father who was fed up with his son being completely obsessed and absorbed in his video games to the point that that's all he did was just sit there and do these video games. And he was surly and hateful, like at Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving. And anyway, this one particular holiday, he took the his video games. A player, I don't know if it was a player or the video games themselves, and he smashed it to smithereens, and the kid went berserk. Like, just...
Yeah, there's a number of those videos. There's one where the father puts all the video games in the Xbox receiver, all they put it out in the yard, and then when the kid came home, he ran over it with a mower.
Wow.
Yeah, kid just melting down.
Yeah.
But...
I have a friend of mine, her son.
There's
is,
also some that the parents actually physically kidnap the kid illegally and get him to a place that's so far away from society, any other town, and he's put to work, and he snaps him out of the addiction of the internet and the games. At first, his parents were afraid of him. Physically afraid, so they had him physically. He could have had charges. They took the chance his own son wouldn't file charges against him because they physically had him taken to this ranch and had to stay out there for like 10 days before anybody would visit him. And he was thankful for it. He sees it now. It took that.
Wow.
It took that to break it, and it shows that going through the procedure when they first get the meltdown. When they get it taken away, it's quite dramatic. It's one girl passes out; she just physically itself is out. That's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse. And like I said, Silicon Valley, the people that form these games and the apps and everything, this is the same addiction they put in casinos for adults, and this is introduced to kids. But their minds are still developing. Their minds are still developing. Who's going to, I don't think there's a thing for.
No, and I mean,
a
friend of mine, she has a son. He's like, he's 26 or 27 around there, and he's incapacitated. And all he does is plays video games all day and lost everything. He's living with his mother now, and doesn't see it.
I think there's certain stages of the addiction. There are some that just that the parents are actually fearful for their lives and safety of their own kid. That's the over the top. But you still have the straight addiction, whether, I don't know. Some of it's physical when they start physically going through withdrawals.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's the same. I find myself having to have timed meetings on the phone. So now I have this tether with you because I never carried my phone with me. I walk out of the room and leave it in where I was. I don't carry it on me all the time. So I miss calls and such. Now I have to because there are appointments.
Yeah.
I have to have this phone with me 24/7. Well, not 24/7, but during the day. I don't like it, but that's life. That's the way it is. Take all the money we're saving. We don't have to get to the appointments. The appointment is called to us. That's kind of neat.
I think it's really a difficult thing for parents to recognize, because as long as the kid is occupied, they're happy. They don't have to deal with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It gets to where the grades. I'm sure it's the class grades or something. They're probably using one of the first hints. Oh shit! What did I do?
Yeah. So I'm going to put another one of my poems in, and then I'm going to read the last poem, and we'll get out of here a little bit early. So here's one.
Yeah, did I read mine? Did I?
I read it for you.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Good job. Uh-oh.
Okay, here's one that I wrote quite a while ago. It's called "We Are Registered Nurses. What is your superpower?" Okay. Destiny was branded in my brain. Aged 5 is when it came. Compassion, empathy grew. As an RN I was to be, I knew. Called to duty so very young, my mission, my purpose, unsung. People lay helpless, afraid of illness, weak, anemic. We teach, explain, lend our strength, fear they cannot feign. We comfort those whose lives are precariously lived until they die. Daily struggle, working short staff, we pull together to hone our craft. Staying overtime if the next shift is short-staffed. We cry, we laugh. Extra miles are often walked to sit with those deep in thought. Assessments made throughout our shifts. Monitor for changes swift. Test results, x-rays and scans. We make time to hold their hands. Compassion, kindness will soothe their souls. Take time to console. We are the eyes and ears of doctors. They trust us with their orders, midnight calls when a patient falls, and being told off for making the call. Nursing is not so glamorous, not Grey's Anatomy, ER, or Nurse Jackie. It's hard work, physical labor, backs that bow, aching legs and swollen feet. It's stress. Upgrading skills is constant. Learning never ends. Adrenaline flows with a team on the floor, charting meds, dressings we dread. There isn't any place I'd rather be or any career I'd rather do. Andrea Wheaton, RN. Real nurse, that's me. And peace.
Yeah,
but, you know, we talk about sacrifice, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we don't have, I mean, I never had Christmas or New Year's off, I think, for the first 7 years of my career, because I worked at 2 different places and I had to alternate. We work all the holidays, you know, you work evenings and weekends. I loved every second of it, believe me, I did. But it is a sacrifice. Your family gets sacrificed, your time. And in some ways, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I really take my hat off to the nurses who are now working in COVID and what they have to go through. Like, just taking off and on those gowns for every patient's room that you go into, on with the gown, off with the gown, washing your hands 7,000 times a day. Your skin gets raw. You know, your face gets blisters from the masks, some of the types of masks that they have. And it is a true sacrifice when you think of healthcare and those that are in it, especially the ones at the bedside. You know, they're the ones that are left behind with the patient when they get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. You know, we're the ones that are holding their hands and helping them. It's a career that I've been retired now for a few years, but I just adored what I did. And there was a sacrifice, but you almost felt guilty because you didn't mind it so much because you loved what you did. So, there, you have that. How do you like Vietnam apple cider? Are you still there, Hatter?
I'm here. I was dozing away. I was remembering counting the when I was a kid. We moved range cattle down the highway into another pasture, and it was a couple of miles. So I was told to stay in the back and don't have that, any stragglers. And little did I know I had a horse that had to be in front, so the whole time I'm fighting this barrel racing stallion. But my job was, when we got there, was to count how many cows went through the gate. That was
right.
My job.
I forgot to do it.
So I have dreams of counting these cows. It was the first
time
I got a show. It was the first time I got a show. I had one job when we got there, was to count the cows, and I didn't do it. I just spaced out.
Oh, my God. What happened? I need to know what happened after that.
Oh, nothing. He just doesn't have a quick count. You got to count your – these are range cows. They're not domestic by any means. So you can't approach them like you can some of the other cattle. I was just hard to get a count. If you leave one behind, if one's in trouble, or you got to know what's going on, if one's calving or something,
right?
You need to account. It's not absolutely crucial, but it was my job and I didn't do it and yelled at. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
it was a big deal to me because I got yelled at. You know, I'm 14. I think I'm 14 years old, and I got my own pickup, my own tractor, my rifle, my sidearm, my horse. A lot of responsibility all at once, so.
So I was 14,
out.
I mean.
Spacing out. Count the cows when they go through the gate.
Mr. What, number one. Sorry.
Everywhere I go, man. I see that.
Yeah.
Count the cows.
Okay, we got one last poem. It's Pretty Bird. And we'll do that. And then we'll call it a night. What do you think?
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So it's in the room there now. And... Pretty Bird, so sacrificial or not,
mm-hmm.
I still don't like mint jelly. All right. You got it?
Not yet.
Okay, you tell me when
you
got it.
I don't like mint jelly. Yep, got it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meek isn't a dress I wear in suit of armor, battlefield conversations, nor do I draw first blood. But coping mechanisms is distorted skin, fall short of ever shining. Thought delays play catch up in words. I have no tongue for lessons in wearing silent emotions. Prolong hope. I am unaccustomed to second chances given. But I lay down the chainmail to be broken, bone by bone and grated skin sliding. Down the rasp of your regret, and there I find peace. There is no leeway in my black and white honesty. I thrive naked in shadows, but pain brings no pleasure to in dissected truths. Bare and bleeding, I lie in wait to be healed enough to find trust in powdered glass, a buffet of honor fueled by the love still held in a heart long broken and poem.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the title versus the poem. I don't like mint jelly. Yeah, go ahead and make a comment.
I'm going stanza by stanza here. Which one's and pain brings no pleasure in dissected truths. But I lay down the chain mail to be broken bone by bone and grated skin sliding down a rasp of your regret, and there I find peace. The long run on sentence, beautiful. Just keep it going.
Yeah.
When you're writing free, you know. But you got to get that little cadence that doesn't sound like a run-on sentence, and it can't stop. You got to keep that. down the rasp of your regret, and there I find peace. And, a long run on sentence. Beautiful tool to use for free.
She's such a good writer, isn't she? Like, she just has that gift.
I love it when she reads her own. She has a way of, she talks, she reads. It, like, she starts with this little da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da to bring you in, and then it gets more intense than what she's saying, and then she hits you with the last time, she brings you back down. Second chance.
Right. I think it's Deb.
Yeah. Hang on. Meek is a digest. Hi, Deb. And a suit of armor, battlefield conversations. No, do I draw first blood?
Hello?
But coping mechanism for the
right.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to hear Pretty Bird's poem?
I didn't, but I was just reading it while I was dialing back in. I really, really liked the title. Sacrificial, the sacrificial lamb. So she puts an image in your mind right from the get-go. And then the wording, my goodness. I have no tongue for lessons in wearing silent emotions, prolong hope. I am accustomed to second chances given. But I lay down the chainmail to be broken bone by bone and grated skin sliding. Now, if you think about just that, I lay down the chainmail to the broken. Chainmail can be that metal mesh clothing, for lack of a better word. So there's all kinds of really awesome images in here. And the grated skin, if it slid across chainmail, that would hurt. So, like, there's wicked images in here. I was wondering if the lamb was being led to slaughter. I thought that it was an excellent brevity.
Okay, Pretty Bird just, yes, it was. She wrote in here, a sacrificial lamb. They serve lamb with mint jelly, but I hate that stuff. Thank you. I enjoyed enjambment over the end stops. It's a sacrifice of honor and the hope of love. Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Where are you reading all that?
On the Team of Voices wall.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking I don't see any of that down there. It just says Lady A at the assault place. Okay. Never mind. But I don't think I've ever tasted mint jelly.
That ain't mutton.
Right. So funny. Are you calling in, Pretty Bird? Maybe she was going to call in, and I stole her thunder. I hope that wasn't the case, but we appreciate you contributing to the evening, and your poetry is always spectacular. I love it. So does anybody else want to, Deb, do you have a second one that you'd like to read, or?
Well, actually, I brought a song to share with you, and right now, I'm shooting you a teeny bit of information, that way when the song ends, you can say something about them.
Okay.
But it's actually called My Sacrifice. So I thought it might, if you've never heard it before, it's a good song that you might want to hear it. And I put it in the studio just in case. And I never got to tell you when I was on the first time, so I dialed back to tell you.
Okay.
But, you can say that part after.
Sure. Okay.
Here it comes.
I'm going to read a little if I can, let me see if I can get the background on that song to explain. Deb, I don't know that I can see that. Just a second.
It's in your inbox, not your topic.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the song is called My Sacrifice by a group called Creed, and they sing some powerfully emotional and spiritual songs, and that is one of them. Creed is an American rock band from Tallahassee, Florida, formed in 1994. They are one of the prominent acts of the post-grunge movement that began in the mid-1990s. Becoming popular in the late 1990s and early 2000s, Creed released three consecutive multi-platinum albums, with their album Human Clay being certified diamond. Wow. Creed has also sold over 28 million records in the United States and has sold over 53 million albums worldwide. And the band has been on hiatus since 2012. So thanks for that information and that song on Sacrifice. Ties in perfectly with the theme tonight. Let me see. And going back to your poem that you wrote earlier with regard to the red spills from Kill's label, The Sacrifice, I just want to tell you again that this was brilliant and very shockingly alarming, and to know these kinds of things took place is kind of I never heard of this before, and so that really, it rocked me when I read this. It was just pretty amazing information, amazing in a it was gruesome,
And but I think, you know, we need to know these things. They get hidden and forgotten. So it's good to bring them forward, and I appreciate you doing that tonight with that, with your poem. So that being said, we don't have any other poetry. I would like to thank Deb and Hatter for hanging out all evening, and Wayne for calling. I appreciate you. And I would also like to thank Laughing Soul and Naomi Sarah, A Pretty Bird. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten anybody. I don't think I have. But everybody that's been listening and who has contributed, I apologize if I haven't mentioned your name. I don't have anything actually written down here with another name. So those that I mentioned,
I'm sure,
and those
you said
unmentioned.
Wayne, so you got them all.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And who else did you say, Wayne and who?
No, I'm sure you said Wayne, so it looks like you got them all. Your board says Laughing Soul, Naomi, Pretty Bird, Wayne, me. Hatman, and yourself.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. And what's going on for the rest of the week, Deb? Do you want to tell us?
Sure. Thursday night we are off as we wait for our sweet pea to return. She's got some stuff going on that she's dealing with, but she will be back, and we miss her. And on Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's open poetry, but it's sort of a little different this week. It's, you know, you put your poem up, and it's going to be set on private, and then it's going to be labeled R, but not because I'm sensual, because I wanted somebody to have a chance to do some, like, maybe in-your-face Bukowski-type poem every now and then. So I'm going to give it a try. So, you know, test show.
Excellent.
And that's 10 o'clock Friday night. And Saturday is Hatter Day with me and Hatter and AP. And I'm stalling because I can't remember what our topic is. Do you remember, Hatter? I'm looking. Here's Hatter Day. Okay, so it actually, here we go. It says, what are you thankful for? So that's the prompt on Saturday. And Sunday you would have to check the sister room for adults only to find out what kind of juicy details are out there for that. And then on Monday, of course, we will do the steampunk show that was postponed so that we could have fun at the races for the Melbourne Cup with AP. So that's the next several days.
Thank you very much. So come and join us and listen to the groups on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call is 1-646-668-2837. And thank you for listening tonight and taking part, those that took part, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks, everyone. Good night.